Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
With you, look at traffic. I'm Joe Cardosi.
Hi, Joe Cardosi. What time do y'all eat Thanksgiving dinner? Do you have a time that you set up?
Not really. I kind of live feral, so it just depends on when everyone else serves it.
Because I was wondering, are you a vagabond, a Thanksgiving
Basically,
vagabond?
Yeah, I just kind of walk around where whoever invites me.
Because I was wondering about what time people eat. I was invited to a couple of different places. One of them was 2 o'clock. A firm, like, this was like, let me know if you're coming or not, because we need to set the place with the china and this and that and the other thing and all of that. And I didn't think I'd be able to make it, so I wanted to let them know about that. But what do you do about breakfast on Thanksgiving Day? That's another thing, because it's a big day of eating, and if you can eat lunch at 2 or something like that, you got to have breakfast, right? Or do you just kind of vagabond your way through that as well? Look for an open donut shop?
Depends on the company I'm having, if I'm just drinking for breakfast or not, just to sustain the day. But, you know, usually a good eggs and bacon, start hearty.
If you're just drinking to start the day, is that what you said?
You know, depends on who you're going to see later.
All right, yeah. All right, well, Thanksgiving at the Cardosi household, ladies and gentlemen. There you go. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk to Ronald Surpass, professor of practice in the Department of Criminal Justice at Loyola, former NOPD chief, about crime, the holidays, and more here on WWL. Cooler today than it has been, and even chillier tomorrow, and then chillier on Friday. Highs around 60, 62 next 2 days. Ronald Surpass joins us now, professor of practice, Department of Criminal Justice at Loyola, former NOPD chief, head of the Nashville City Police, and Washington State Police. We'd love to pick his brain when it comes to crime and law enforcement. Good morning, Chief. How are you?
Good morning, Tommy. Are you going to be wearing little earmuffs and a little cap on your head with this cold weather?
No. But I did mention earlier that I was going to walk in the Turkey Day race tomorrow, and the best I can do is 20 minutes between the replacement knees and the little legs that I have. You probably can walk, what, like maybe a mile in 4 minutes, something like that?
Even if I was carrying you.
With those big long legs? Yeah. So I don't know. I guess I don't know if I'm going to go as a celebration of and walk 5 miles in 20 minutes each as a celebration of what you can do with replacement knees, or have
Excellent.
My rear end handed to me with, you know, you can't do what you used to do. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Why don't you come out there and join us?
I'd be out of town. Otherwise, I may.
Okay. All right. I'll accept that.
Let's plan it for next year.
All right, let's do it. You can carry me.
I will.
Let's talk about... Yeah, I'll bet you will. Let's talk about differences in law enforcement. I wanted to pick your brain about this.
Mm-hmm.
Between, when it comes to the holidays, between Nashville, Washington, and New Orleans, were there differences or was it pretty much the same?
Nashville and New Orleans are quite the same. They have massive celebrations for Thanksgiving and Christmas, and they both have very large New Year's Eve celebrations. And then, of course, New Orleans has all the other traditional celebrations that Nashville has some. Country Music Week is incredible. It's huge. Imagine Canal Street times 10. Mm. Washington State, as the state police, we would go support departments all over the state. So Seattle had big events. Tacoma would have somewhat big events, and Spokane would have pretty big events. So a lot of similarities in that a lot of people are in very confined places celebrating whatever it is that time, Christmas, Thanksgiving, New Year's.
So looking back on the year, what is it that, you know, it started in a terrible manner on January 1st. Mm-hmm. What is it that we can be thankful for as it relates to crime in New Orleans?
I think that we see trends that crime is going down, and that's always a great thing. I think there are real serious and significant issues on the management of the budget at the city level, at the department level, and most importantly, at the overtime level. If you're complaining you need new cars to the public and the public sees the cars you're taking, you're not taking care of, they get confused about why you need to get new cars. If we complain to the government and we complain to the community that we don't have enough overtime, but then you see just these phenomenal examples of no supervision, no management, no control over people working overtime, that makes it difficult for the public to understand. So there's a lot of work left to be done, and I'm hopeful that the crime will continue to go down.
I'm still confused about this overtime thing. Take me from a management standpoint, because you and I have had this conversation before where, you know, if I'm making $240,000 a year, I'm pretty happy, even though I'm away from home, you would think. I don't feel as though I'm being burdened upon. However, if I'm not working that time, then that's not right. If it's at the expense of somebody else, that's not right. Take me through this whole thing from an administrative situation with the overtime and the problems that you see.
Well, the key issue is that a mayor will make a budget request, the council will fund it, and you will get X number of dollars available. Now, we do have some really kind of dumb examples that there was no line item in the city's budget that the council approved that the mayor submitted. You see that disconnect there? That doesn't make any sense, Tommy.
Right.
Like, well, we didn't know. Well, no, you approved the budget. In the places that I worked, every place I worked, we had to provide a monthly report in person to the legislative power in Washington, New Orleans, and Nashville to explain, you gave us 100, we spent 95. You gave us 100, we spent 105. That's how the government at the administrative side, the mayor's side, and that's how the legislature at the council side ensures that the budget they passed is being followed. It's inconceivable to the people of New Orleans, I think, that no one knew that the police department was spending all this money or any other department was spending this money without it. I mean, I don't know what happened. I was gone. But, Tommy, every month I had to go in front of Jim Singleton. Mm-hmm. And I looked forward to it so I could say to him, Mr. Singleton, you gave us $100. We spent $100. We're doing the work you demanded of us, of the council, the mayor's office, and the CAO. So those are the things that do. When you do those, you send a level of confidence to the community that you're managing the money they give you through their taxes. That's really the bottom line. The community needs to see that you're managing the money from the taxes that they earn to give to you, and this hot mess running around that we didn't know and now we're going to do quarterly and monthly meetings should have been going on forever.
Yeah,
why was it stopped during the 8 years?
But with the overtime, let me get back to that from the administrative standpoint.
Sure.
Does that indicate mismanagement, or does that mean you were just doing what you could with what you had? That's what I'm trying to get my head around.
Sure. The police department has overtime at such great levels, I would think clearly, because it doesn't have enough staffing to meet the demand of services. But when you get examples of, you know, 10, 15 officers working 16 hours a day, 360 or more days a year, they can't possibly be healthy. They can't possibly be serving. But what it really shows is who's approving all those hours and what are they doing that's important. Maybe it is. But, Tommy, I would ask you this. And you have a very close relationship with a family on the West Bank, medical doctors, that I have a relationship with the father.
Mm-hmm.
I would never want to think that doctor was working 16, 17 hours a day, 365 days a year, and I happen to be the patient at 4 o'clock on the 365th day.
Well, and here's what I...
Psychological services talk about how exhausted you get if you try to work that many hours.
And here's the reason I ask. I had a job when I was in college at the Continental Grain Elevator before it exploded, and that was 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, and it was a chance to make up a lot of money, right? Because that's a lot of hours, but you don't have time to do anything. And I was conflicted because, yeah, I love the money, but that's tough because, you know, you don't even have time at that time. I had hair to get a haircut, let alone do anything else that you need to get done. So that's why I just wonder from the officer's standpoint, from the organization's standpoint, where's the sweet spot in all of this?
Well, I think we thank the officers who are willing to spend more time away from their family because overtime occurs after you did your original 40-hour week, right?
Mm-hmm.
So overtime is after you've already done as much work as everybody normally does. So I appreciate, and I think we should thank the officers who are willing to do that. I don't think we should appreciate and thank the supervisors that are approving these egregious examples of overtime abuse. It just can't be said any other way. Those supervisors are actually sending the message to the men and women who are working for them. I really don't care about what you're doing. I'm going to take care of these handful of guys for whatever reasons, be they good, bad, or indifferent.
Meaning it's not being spread around?
It's not being spread around, and more importantly, it's being spread around in a way that doesn't make sense to the common mind. 360 days, a 16-day hour shift, nobody can understand that.
You just answered my question, because rather than, if you have overtime, rather than one guy making, I'm pulling a number out of the air here, $250,000 a year, you could have spread that out to other people where maybe, and again, I'm just pulling these numbers out of the air, maybe a half a dozen people or two dozen people could have made $100,000 a year, $150,000 a year, right?
Well, more simply, as a chief, I would have some deputy chiefs explaining to me very quickly every day, why does these handful of people make this many hours? Not about the money, not about their efforts, not about good people, bad people. Why are you approving? You work for me. Mm-hmm. I can't see every timesheet. Kirkpatrick can't see every timesheet. But you're still ultimately the holder of the responsibility as the chief. Deputy Chief Tommy, why is it these two guys who work for you are working 16 hours a day, 360 days a year? Would you please explain that to me?
Well, and that's what I'm asking, Chief. And meanwhile, you might have some people, on the other hand, that can't get an hour of overtime, and they're as competent. That's what I'm trying to get a handle on. And is it any different than any other organization? We could take a break here. It's 8:22. But is it any different than any other organization where, okay, Fred and Mary, we're going to give you, you're going to need you to work 80 hours overtime next pay period. Michael and John, not so much for you. That's what I'm thinking it comes down to. We'll take a break, pick it up, we come back. 8:22, traffic now, dub it up.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Black Friday? More like Black Friday, yay! Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list. And prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Be well. 8:28, couple of minutes left with Ronald Surpass, our friend, former professor, practice now at the Department of Criminal Justice at Loyola, former NOPD superintendent, head of the Washington State Police, Nashville City Police. So let me get back to this overtime thing real quick to wrap it up. Obviously, if it's like any other organization, if I'm running an auto repair shop, I don't want to give a salesman overtime when the mechanic is what I need. He needs the overtime. Conversely, I guess when it comes to the police department, if I need homicide detectives to do overtime, I need them more than patrol officers. Is it that simple or not, Chief?
I think in policing, pretty much everyone has an opportunity to say they need more time to do the work they're given, particularly when you're short-staffed. But the real key issue that we talked about, if you're advocating for more overtime and the public gets confused at all about the way you're managing what you have, it's a expectation the public is going to say to the politicians, you can't give them anymore. Mm-hmm. That would be the ultimate down for this whole thing. Handfuls of supervisors not doing their job, handfuls of officers gaming the system, sacrifice all the officers and supervisors who are doing the good things, and then it sacrifices the community. The senior leadership has one job, and that's to make sure these inaccurate activities are not allowed.
So then I'm looking at the total amount of overtime that's budgeted and the way it's distributed. If you're shorthanded, is the amount right, and is it just being distributed wrongly?
Well, I think the legislative auditor has publicly said what's going to be the biggest issue of all, and that is if you're in a neighborhood where you can afford to pay more for police through self-taxing districts, mm-hmm. and the police are putting officers in there as opposed to the calls for service machine that everybody's supposed to get, that could be a massive problem for confidence in the police department, because it turns into, if you can pay more, you get more, but if you can't, you get whatever we have left. I don't know if that's happening, but it sounded very much like that in the legislative auditor's comments about some of the findings. It may not be widespread, but just imagine this, Tommy. If you live in Little Woods and you're short officers, but further out of New Orleans East, a community that is self-taxing itself buys more police officers that are coming from the shift that's supposed to be taking care of you, that doesn't sit well. I've seen it in other parts of the country. That is a disaster.
I call that the extra syrup thing with snowballs. How do you know, right?
Yes.
So when it comes to the security districts, is that paid from overtime or is that paid from a special fund?
Often it's a special fund by the community allowed by legislation that they self-tax themselves, and then they transfer the money to either private security or to the police department to do the service extra above what they get as normal taxpayers. The normal taxpayer who can't pay extra and above is the one who feels like they got less.
Thank you, Chief. Start training next year. You're walking 5 miles with
me
on your back.
I'm in.
All right. We'll see. We'll see. Might want to talk to your knee replacement guy about that. 8:30 time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Dave Cohen. All right, 8:45, quarter to nine. Quickly to Joe Geruso, outgoing council member, District A. Who knows what the future holds for him? He's going to talk to us about the budget. I know you and Helena. Good morning, Joe. How are you? Happy Thanksgiving.
Good morning. Happy Thanksgiving.
I know you and Helena Moreno, Mayor-elect Moreno, were on with Newell yesterday, but I didn't get a chance to listen because, quite frankly, I knew he was going to butcher the interview, and I thought it best for wait for me to talk to you this morning.
I understand. I'm glad at all the confidence you have in yourself.
Yeah. I hope Newell knows that I'm kidding, because otherwise I'm moving, just so everybody knows. No, it was he did a great job. But for people that missed it, and you can go back and listen to it with the Odyssey Rewind feature. You know, I'm just a guy from Algiers, but it seems like well, the first thing we're going to do is we got to see what do we have to spend, and then we got to figure out what do we need to spend it on. Is that pretty much the process here?
That is exactly what the process here. And here's the other thing. 1 minus 1 has to equal 0, too, mm-hmm. right? Like, the numbers have to line up. They have to make sense. And I think that's what Helena and her team have been really focused on over this period of time. And look, I made this point after we did WWL, we met with the paper, mm-hmm. and it's sort of amazing in my mind how much the mayor-elect and her transition team have done in 45 days, from fighting about whether or not we need a financial administrator, being able to be collaborative with state officials about what ought to happen next, getting the revenue anticipatory note, and rewriting the budget all within a short period of time is no easy task.
I know she's had a lot of help, but I got to tell you, just on a personal note, and I don't really know Helena Moreno. I think I met her once or twice, but this is an extraordinary person that is in control of all of this. It seems as though she's got it by the you-know-whats, and she's just taking it on and doing a great job with it. Am I missing something?
No, she's working incredibly hard, and I'm not just saying this because we're on radio right now. Mm-hmm. I would be more indifferent if I thought differently. I'll tell you this, too. We got an email, the transition team, about 10:30 at night, and Helena was responding at 2:45 in the morning with
wow.
substantive points. So, look, that means she's thinking about these things. She's working on it actively, and I think it's a really interesting combination, Tommy, of somebody who clearly has a philosophy and a way that she wants to do things, while at the same time understanding how you work with others to try and accomplish that.
What is that philosophy, Joe, as you see it?
I see it as a few things. I mean, the main one is it's quality of life. I mean, that's what she is entirely focused on. If you look at the departments that are getting overtime, the departments that either don't get cuts or the least amount of cuts, it's what do residents want to see? Residents want their streets to be safe. They want to know that DPW is working. They want to know that permits can be achieved and accomplished in short order. And I think the other thing, too, is an urgency, Tommy. Like, she understands that people have these problems and want them to be dealt with quickly and with somebody who cares and is going to show you that they care.
So how do you even go about triaging that? Because I know she is terribly concerned with quality of life, but if you got to start making cuts, how do you do that without affecting quality of life, unless there's a lot of low-hanging fruit that didn't affect the quality of life issues? Again, am I making stuff up or just pointing out the obvious?
No, I mean, I think it's a combination of both. I mean, there are things
making up
that
stuff?
Are worth... No, you're not this time.
All right.
But look, I think there are low-hanging fruit things.
Well played, counselor.
Said.
Thank you.
Well, I try my best.
Yeah.
So there's low-hanging fruit things that she's trying to address right now and taking care of those things. And at the same time, just trying to be very strategic and surgical with the cuts. Look, the original budget that we got just called for a 30% cut across the board. Pretty much everybody is taking somewhere between a 30%, 20 and 30%.
That to me is nonsense because, again, going back to the conversation I had earlier, if you are running an auto repair shop and you need mechanics, well, why would you hire people to set up displays? That's not what you need. You need mechanics, right? You got to triage what you need, correct?
That's exactly right. And I think that's where the importance about where the cuts matter are, is if you know that you need laborers to fill potholes, you know you need people to process permits, we know that we need first responders on the streets, then that's where your priorities have to be, and everything else has to take a backseat. And look, I've had a ton of conversations with people who are, well, my program's being cut, or this is happening, or that, and it's everybody's being cut. The next Councilmember Morrell said yesterday, the next council will be furloughed. So it is everybody is going to have
now?
To feel this.
The what?
The next council will be furloughed along with non-essential personnel.
Meaning you'll receive 1 day's less pay a month or a week?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what about the staff?
Here's what council members are going to have to decide. Are you going to reserve your pool so you don't have to furlough people? Or are you going to have to tell the team that we're going to furlough together? That's mm-hmm. a decision the council member and their staffs are going to have to make together. But I think his point is well taken, which is if you're asking the mayor who's going to be furloughed, the CAO's office to be furloughed, other non-first responder personnel to be furloughed, and the council will also be furloughed. And look, that was the model during COVID as well. When Helena was president of the council, we were furloughed when the rest of the city was furloughed too, because it was important that we show that we're doing the same things as we're asking the other personnel inside City Hall to do too.
I think she's doing a remarkable job so far. I'm asking people right now, 504-260-1870, tell me what you think of the job Mayor-elect Helena Moreno is doing, because I don't know what else she could do. I want to talk to you when we come back, Joe, about ways to raise revenue or cut services or maintain services. I know she's talking about maybe an increase in collection sanitation fees, but I don't know how you can do that and then enhance collection services as well, because it seemed like you're right back to where you started. But we'll see. 852 Traffic, WWL. 8:57 and a half. Tommy Tucker, WWO. Quickly back to Joe Geruso, New Orleans City Council member. Joe, is the mayor-elect Moreno, is she, or have you all discussed any revenue-raising measures to try to bring more money in?
Yeah, so, I mean, one of the things that's part of the plan already is we right now only have 15 people who are writing tickets for parking, mm-hmm. and most times it's closer to 45 or 60. If you go to that number and you hire 50 more people, it should generate about $21 million in revenue a year. She's plugged in 7 this year.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's one of those small things, again, to your point about hiring people in the right places that generate value is something she's going to be focused on.
Those are city employees, Joe, or is that contracted out?
No, these are city employees.
Okay.
These are city employees. Another one she mentioned yesterday is a $20 per rider fee for carnival parades only. I think we all know there's a lot of junk and things that happen during Mardi Gras. And as somebody who rides myself, after considering my dues, $20 to make sure the streets are cleaned up and the barricades are put up and all the things are being done is a pittance compared to what I pay anyway. Mm-hmm. So I don't think people who ride should have much of a problem with that. And then the last thing she mentioned yesterday, you mentioned, is a sanitation fee. And I think she's trying to figure out what the right level of that ought to be in the services that people would get in return.
You know, a lot of places, they only collect it once a week. And I think the thought process is, as long as you collect it, people will continue to make garbage. And if you don't collect it, then maybe they'll cut back a little bit on how much garbage you make. Thoughts?
We'll see what happens.
All right.
We'll see what happens.
Hi, my friend. Thank you, Joe. A pleasure as always. I hope you have a great Thanksgiving, you and the family. And, yeah, I guess that's it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Tommy.
You bet.
Take care.
We'll talk to Jeff Nowak when we come back, WWL Saints sideline reporter, get an update on the kicking game, the red zone woes, and more. And we'll also talk about fire safety, not just frying turkeys, but as the weather cools off, space heaters and all that stuff.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.